This is music from Bad Bad, Not Good. Welcome to The Checkout, a podcast and radio show from WBGR. I'm Josh Jackson. Bad Bad, Not Good is a far-fetched story of three jazz students from Toronto's Humber College posting homemade music videos of themselves online, playing songs by their favorite hip-hop artists. Who knew they'd be sharing the stage with Tyler the Creator, Ghostface Killa, and Madlib? The Montreal pianist David Richepin takes us on a tour of outstanding Canadian jazz that Americans may not have heard. But first, a living legend of the trumpet, Tom Harrell, talks about composing in his dreams and his reverie of Debussy and Horace Silver. This is The Checkout, the special Montreal Jazz Fest edition, part deux. Thanks for checking in.
I'm Simon Rettner for WBGO Radio, and I'm honored to be in the presence with a trumpeter that has been on the scene for many decades, creating record after record, continually writing new music along the way, and coming up with dreamlike compositions. Colors of a Dream is the name of his release, and he actually premiered that material at the Village Vanguard, where WBGO was there to capture it. Tom Harrell, thank you for joining us on The Checkout.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here. I'm grateful to you for the premiere.
A lot of artists talk about being in a dreamlike state when they're most creative, whether they're lucid dreaming, dreaming when they're awake, dreaming when they're sleeping. Are you dreaming when you come up with your compositions?
Well, yeah, dream has, is many meanings. So, yeah, it's a dream come true to do this. It's a fulfillment of something I really wanted to do.
But do you think about composition while you're sleeping? Do you dream about actually notes and melodies and chords?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's natural to dream, to think of melodies while you're asleep. It's natural to hear melodies while you're asleep, too. So, and then you can write them down later.
Take us through that process. Is there a particular melody that came to you really clearly in the middle of the night?
Well, yeah, I mean, usually I do most of my writing at night or in the early morning, so I write it down, and sometimes it takes years, like Sail Away. I started it at about 10 years after I finished it, so I finally found the shape for it 10 years later.
And Sail Away is one of your, I don't know when to say your greatest hits, but people seem to really love that composition. And in fact, you played it at the Village Vanguard, and we're going to listen to it right now, Sail Away.
Madre de la E. La E, ya, 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 ya.
Sail Away by Tom Harrell. And a group that includes his longstanding quintet, but interesting formation in the sense that you included another bass player. Ugana Okegwo is your longstanding bass player, and Esperanza Spalding is the other bass player who also does quite a bit of singing. Did you dream up that sort of formation, thinking this could use another bass player?
Well, I love the texture of two basses, yeah, and I love horns and I love voice, and so it's a fulfillment of sounds, putting sounds together that I love.
A musician that I've worked with that has been in your band on a couple of occasions is the cellist Ruben Cadelli. And he always emphasized to me how much you love classical music and the works of Ravel and Debussy and Grigori Ligeti. To get back on the dreaming theme that we've been talking about, I guess one of the compositions that I heard you love is Debussy's Rêverie.
Oh yeah, that's true. His choice of that title conveys a beautiful mood that influenced me greatly when I heard that song.
It's one of those compositions that is just, I don't know. Sometimes Debussy can just be so direct with his writing, right? Is that what you're trying to achieve?
Well, yeah, I think. It's direct and also, yeah, that's a good word. It's direct because it's pure sound. I think he was a revolutionary to achieve beauty and sound in a totally new way, and in a less formal way. So it was more direct that could reach the listener very meaningfully.
Talk to me about Ruben Cadelli, because you also play with his string quartet that I don't think a lot of people have heard, but you're featured on one of his compositions on North Sky.
Yeah, Ruben Codelli is a fantastic musician, a beautiful person. He's an amazing writer, wow, amazing composer. It's a very beautiful mood.
And it's very impressionistic.
Yeah, he's interested in textures. We're in the same wavelength, and we both love Ligeti and Debussy and Ravel.
Well, let's listen to Nightingale from North Sky String Quartet, composed by Ruben Codelli, featuring Tom Harrell.
Thank you.
So, Tom Harrell, in the early 70s, you had the opportunity to play with one of the all-time greats in this music, Horace Silver. Tell us about your experience playing with Horace Silver, and especially you played on one of his records, one of them being Silver and Brass, right?
Yeah, I played on Silver and Brass, and that's a great album.
Is there a composition that you were on during those five records that you're proud of?
Keep On Getting Up.
Keep On Getting Up?
From Silver and Wood.
Silver and Wood. What's the story behind that song?
Well, he told me he had me in mind when he wrote it.
That's beautiful. That must have been quite an honor at that time of your life.
Yeah, it still is. He's my greatest teacher. He taught me a lot about music and life.
Tell us a lesson. What was like the lesson that has stood the test of time?
Well, I would say dignity, first of all. He always was very respectful toward people and toward himself.
Well, let's listen to a little snippet of you with Horace Silver in the 70s. I think our audience will like that. Horace Silver and Tom Harrell.
That's trumpeter Tom Harrell remembering Horace Silver with WBGO's Simon Rentner at the 2014 Montreal Jazz Festival. Horace Silver died on June 18th, 2014. You heard Keep On Getting Up from Silver's 1976 recording Silver and Wood. Coming up next, music by our friendly neighbors up there in Canada. Pianist David Rishpan guides us through their modern jazz landscape. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
David Rishpan joins us on The Checkout from WBGO. We're talking about Canadian recordings that maybe Americans haven't necessarily heard before. We are at the Montreal Jazz Festival. Besides being a radio announcer, you are also a pianist, right?
Yes, pianist and composer. That's my real life. Radio is a side thing I got into when I was studying at McGill. I got into volunteering at what was McGill Radio, CKUT 90.3 FM, and it's since dissociated a little bit, but I'm still at CKUT, and it was a great avenue for me to get into. I probably learned as much, if not more, from my involvement in radio as a musician than I did from taking lessons or studying sort of officially at McGill.
So we're only going to excerpt some of these recordings, and let's get started. What's the first recording you're going to share with us?
Let's go with the Doxis Brothers, saxophonist Chet and drummer Jim, who American listeners may know from their album with Dave Douglas and Steve Swallow, Riverside. And this is from an album that came out a few years ago, and it was recorded at the CBC Studios. And the album is called Le Mur, or The Wall, and we're going to hear the title track. You're
Le
talking
Mur.
To an Anglophone.
Le Mur. David Richpan joins us on the checkout. We're talking about some unknown Canadian jazz recordings to most American listeners at the Montreal Jazz Festival. What's the next recording?
My boys in Field Trip, which I believe I would say is defunct as a band now. They've all moved on to different projects and different things. This features Colin Power on alto saxophone, who is now the co-owner of Resonance Cafe, which is the best vegan jazz cafe in Montreal by far. Patrick Reed on bass, who I believe is still living in Brooklyn and is also deeply into coffee. And one of my frequent collaborators, Mark Nelson, on drums and percussion. That's the core of Field Trip. On this album, they're joined by Toronto saxophonist Kelly Jefferson and Alberta guitarist Jim Head, and we're going to hear I Am the Imposter from their album No Destination.
No Destination. David Richpan joins us on the checkout, and we're talking about some Canadian recordings. A question that I always have when I come to Montreal is there a thread that runs through all of these recordings? Does Montreal have a sound?
I believe so, and maybe less in jazz than maybe in pop, but yeah, I think there's actually multiple sounds.
Well, so what is it? The distinctive sound. What are we listening for?
Wow. I think, especially in Montreal, having a very vibrant indie rock scene, a very vibrant musique actuelle or creative music or of avant-garde scene, and also a really deep straight-ahead tradition. I think lots of us are combining all three of those threads.
So, David, I guess we're moving down the line here. What else are you going to share with us?
Well, let's get to some truly contemporary Montreal music. This is from a piano trio led by pianist Jérôme Beaulieu, who has been conquering all of the festivals and has been touring across Canada this year with his band, featuring Philippe Leduc on bass and William Côté on drums. This is from Chercher l'équilibre, or Looking for Balance. And this is a tune by Jérôme called La Tourte, or The Pie.
Interesting thing about thinking about music scenes in different cities around the world, really, is you have this interesting occurrence where certain artists, for whatever reason, become really famous or celebrated. Maybe a good example, we're talking at the Montreal Jazz Festival, and although Diana Krall is famous or known in the United States, she has sort of superstar status in Canada. Now, she is Canadian, of course, but I sometimes wonder, is that because she's Canadian, or is it something more?
I think it's both. I think we have a very strong sense of pride in seeing our local boys and girls done good. And there also is a certain reality, and I think this goes for every country on the face of the planet, where you have to blow up somewhere else other than your hometown or your home country to get any sort of traction in your home. I think there is a certain, even though he doesn't really consider himself Canadian because he's lived in London for 60 years, there is a certain admiration across the country for Kenny Wheeler. That's sort of the linchpin, I think, of Canadian large ensemble writing, maybe. When I look at the States, I don't think Kenny Wheeler has the same kind of influence he has on American composers as he does as on Canadian composers.
Can you recommend a composition by Kenny Wheeler?
Man, the record Music for Large and Small Ensembles is such an influential piece on my own writing and for every large ensemble. I think it's Gentle Peace that I played in the McGill Big Band in my first year.
Thank you. David Richpan joins us on the Checkout, and we're talking about some Canadian jazz recordings. And I guess we have one last recording, right?
Sure. This artist Americans may or may not be more familiar with through his work with Rudresh Mahantapa. Brilliant artists. This is bassist Rich Brown. Actually, on this record, most people will be familiar with these artists in the States, I think, except maybe not through this band. This is his band Rinse the Algorithm, and so we're going to hear from their first record called Locutions that came out far too long ago. And this is going to feature Luis Deniz on alto sax, Robbie Botos on piano, and Fender Rhodes, a name that should be familiar to Checkout listeners, David Virelles on piano and keyboards, and Larnell Lewis, who Americans may know from his subbing into Snarky Puppy, on drums. And this is a tune that Rich dedicates to Mark DeClivelo, the great broken beat and instrumental producer. This is Rich Brown's tune for Mark DeClivelo called Algorithmic.
Rich Brown's Algorithmic. WBGO's Simon Rentner talking to David Richpan. Coming up next, three jazz college kids from Toronto became internet hip-hop stars overnight. Bad Bad Not Good is up next with producer Simon Rentner. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
Bad, bad, not good. Well, that's what Bobby McFerrin said at his press conference during the Montreal Jazz Festival when he was looking at the program, and he said, that could be an African name if it was said fast.
Did he actually say that?
He actually did say that, yeah.
That's crazy. Sorry. I'm talking to the mic now.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Really. That's awesome, yeah. Bobby McFerrin's a real, yeah.
So just to get this out of the way, since you guys are a jazz trio, is there any affiliation with the Bad Plus when it came to coming up with your band name?
No. Yeah, it was just like a goofy name that we had in the bag. Because like me and my friends were like writing a stupid like TV show kind of thing that never made it. And then because we didn't try hard enough. And then that was just the name of it. And we had like a YouTube channel and stuff. And then it's like when we started making music, it was like, well, we have this name that's kind of cool still, and it's not being used for anything. So like, whatever, you know, I guess that's how it happened. Yeah.
And it's Bad, Bad, Not Good with capital letters.
Yeah, all capitals.
Yeah.
One word.
Yeah.
Sans serif.
But not good.
You can introduce your with the African dialect, you know, starting now, I guess.
For sure.
But
I'm sure that'd be totally cool if we did that every show.
guys are from Toronto, and you guys are all very young. It's quite an kind of unlikely story, you know, a bunch of young white kids from Toronto becoming the go-to instrumental band for the up-and-coming contemporary hip-hop artists. How did that happen?
There's no real story.
We have no idea.
I guess just like, you know, through posting stuff on the internet and kind of just like covering different artists and stuff like that, and just the power of Twitter and social media has come for a lot of different little opportunities here and there. So yeah, and we don't know why, but somehow we're very lucky.
Yeah, like all these people that we have been fans of since we started listening to hip hop, like suddenly we're in the same room with them, we're playing something, or they're rapping over something. It's crazy.
Are you guys the first open source jazz trio?
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure there's been like some like copyright free jazz music on the internet beforehand, but I don't know. Maybe, I guess, I don't know. Like,
you guys dropped two albums basically arranging hip hop material for an instrumental trio with no label, put it up on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, YouTube, and hundreds of thousands of people are viewing these tracks, which is incredible for an instrumental jazz trio. And then finally, you get a record deal, but you guys sort of went all about it backwards.
Yeah, I mean, we like when we first started making music together, it wasn't really, there was almost no thought put into it. We were just friends that met and started jamming together and then wanted to put stuff out for free because, I mean, that's the way that most people get things anyways, and it's a great way to get yourself out there and get exposed.
Related to the like hip-hop mixtape free kind of like movement of just, you know, putting out material for free and letting people listen and kind of just having access to it no matter like where you're coming from, or, you know, instead of when you're not on a label as well, it's an easy way to just say, here it is. If you want to check it out, by all means, you can have it. There's no cost, you know, just click the download button kind of thing.
Well, let's listen to the thing that I guess put you on the map virally, Electric Relaxation, Tribe Called Quest, arranged for a jazz trio. We'll be right back. Electric Relaxation, Tribe Called Quest, performed by Bad Bad Not Good on the Checkout from WBGO. What is it about that song that all these jazz piano players want to do arrangements of it?
I mean, it's just a really cool three-bar or six-bar, I guess. I don't know, like three or six-bar, depending on how you count it. But yeah, six-bar, I guess, like phrase. And it's just the chord progression is kind of interesting and not super diatonic, which is kind of cool. And it just is really interesting to play, and it has like a good feeling. And because it's like an odd meter, or not odd meter, but like a non-symmetrical amount of bars, it kind of loops in an interesting way, and it doesn't really get boring, even if you just play like the same thing over it for like 5 minutes. Yeah.
So at what point, you guys, did you realize that all of this open sourcing, just making available this music, these arrangements of, say, Kanye West, that you realized, okay, I think we can drop out of school? Was there a moment?
I mean, I guess you could say we dropped out of school prematurely, like in terms of what we were doing at the time, but we were just really kind of excited about where everything was going and like the opportunities that were coming and stuff that we, you know, some things in life you just have to like, you know, take a risk or whatever.
There had to have been a moment though with one of your cuts that you dropped that just seemed to pick up, gain this kind of momentum online. Was there something where you're just like, you know, woke up one day, you looked at like, wow, like really, like this many people are checking us out? Like, was there ever a moment like that?
Yeah, like every time we ever release something, it's like, you know, wake up the next day, it's like, holy, like, or holy poop. You know what I mean? I can't believe that there's a, you know.
And especially starting from like the first couple ones, even just like playing in the school and stuff like that, and just kind of like doing these little apartment ideas. I mean, some of the things that we're not super stoked on now, because those were 3 years ago, and we feel like we've had a chance to kind of explore a bit more since. But I mean, we're just proud that it has spawned this whole kind of progression of being able to travel and make this not band a real band, and, you know, invite our good friend Leland out and have him rip some solos, and, you know, just kind of like try to take a stab at original material and all this kind of stuff as well.
The Kanye West tune, I've always thought of being a jazz standard for some reason, just the way it sounds, and was kind of surprised that you were the first jazz or instrumental trio to take a chance with it.
Yeah, I mean, we just love that song. It just seemed to kind of work in the context of what we do. You know, it has those lush -7 and -9 chords, I guess. I don't know, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like it just kind of has a vibe that is good.
Yeah, a lot of the time, I guess, with some songs that we're, if we're going to cover them or whatever, it's usually just kind of like a time and place thing where we're just experimenting with some ideas, or and if the song fits kind of what we're trying to do, or if we can feel like we can, more so now and with, like, say something like that more than like when we did some of the earlier stuff, but we can take it at like a different place maybe and try to create a different vibe or energy underneath the, you know, melody and all the structures that it has and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just a great song. Kanye's a genius, so. Flashing Lights is an incredible tune to play. A lot of fun.
We'll be right back.
Bad Bad Not Good joins us on The Checkout from WBGO. I'm Simon Rettner. That's Matthew Tavares on keys, Alexander Sawinski on drums, Chester Hansen on bass. It's actually pretty astonishing that you've been able to find yourselves right into the middle of the hip-hop community, right? Then being able to record with Frank Ocean, Madlib, Ghostface Killah.
Yeah, it's great. I have no idea how it happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yo, ayo, dangerous thoughts, mind of a militia, bottles of the 150 poured over twisters.
Continuing on this hip-hop tour, you did a session with Tyler, the Creator, that, I mean, I don't think I've really quite seen anything like it, quite frankly. I mean, seriously, like, combining hip-hop, like, real art hip-hop with kind of a full-out jazz piano solo on Orange Juice. You don't see these kinds of combinations very often.
Box logo hoodies and goodies from buddies. I'd understand it. Bass was buzzing like, what is that? We get it for free.
At that time, too, he just came to, like, my dad's kind of, like, basement area that we were just jamming in. We were still in school. It was, like, over a weekend. And he just showed up, and we just didn't have anything to, like, we didn't rehearse anything. We just, like, you know, just started, like, hanging out, first time meeting him, and then we just started playing some tunes and gave him a mic, and he rapped some songs with us, and we just kind of, like, soloed when we thought it was necessary and just kind of jammed
it. Yelling and stuff.
Awesome. It was a lot of fun. Got pizza, got Domino's, got the Cinestics.
Really cool guy.
Yeah, and he holds up a couple of other things. Which I'm not going to say on the air, but you can check out the YouTube video. Okay, so you've performed with Tyler, the Creator, Wu-Tang Clan, Frank Ocean, and then you got sort of more on the underground with your collaboration with Madlib. How did that happen?
It was actually a remix that we ended up doing for the Freddie Gibbs Madlib album. So we didn't actually get to officially collab with Madlib, but he approved it, which is amazing.
Yeah, Coolio.
Yeah.
He said Coolio different.
Yeah.
Who is the last member of the band to take the walk of shame?
Well, we all have girlfriends. So none of us, I guess.
All right. Well, good answer. Bad, bad, not good. The Freddie Gibbs Madlib cut. Shame. So where do you see this journey taking you now? Where do you guys see yourselves 5 years from now?
It's really hard to say. I don't think we have any idea what's going to be happening in the next year, but we just are going to, we are just going to keep making music, staying positive, moving forward.
Yeah. Just trying to, you know, keep creating more and exploring in terms of, you know, all the influences that we have, being a kind of product of the age of the internet and having access to so many different types of, like, eras of music and genres and everything is basically all at our fingertips. So, you know, just having fun, you know, bringing Leland around, playing some
just
solos,
goofing,
enjoying all the opportunities that we can, and, you know, just trying to do the best possible with our, you know, strongest effort.
Bad Bad Not Good officially released an album through the regular channels of releasing music called Bad Bad Not Good 3, BBG 3. And we're going to hear Leland on this track, Confessions.
Ooh. He rips it. A young boy. Very talented. Mm-hmm.
Bad Not Good 3, playing Confessions from their third album. However, their first, released by a record label. The band spoke to our producer, Simon Ratner. The Checkout is a podcast. Say what? That means we can make this thing go viral. Spread it all over the internets, will ya? Thanks, kids. Stream the show from our website at checkoutjazz.org. We're on Twitter at checkoutjazz. Our producer Simon Rentner is too, at Simon Rentner. A huge thanks to everyone at Equipe Spectra, Vincent Lefebvre, Elise Cassavant, Catherine Aimant, Maude Laberge-Boudreau, and Eric Ayotte. The Checkout is a production of WBGO, Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.